Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Flipped to Debo, coming back the other way, left, led by Croft and Trent Williams and Ayuk. Breaks a tackle, 20, 10, 5. Debo Samuel all the way into the end zone for a touchdown. Anote! Castellón, San Francisco!
The 49ers destroy the Arizona Cardinals 38-10. Jerry Jones is coming up at 8:30. This is Sean and RJ with our new morning show co-host Bobby Belt on DFW Sports Station. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for turn it on, leave it on. Look at the teams that are done in the NFC West with the defending champs and Arizona with their dramatic offseason with all the Kyler mess.
Man, it was a dramatic offseason, wasn't it? But, this was, and you're right, the moment Kyler was out, it was like, yeah, this game really.
I don't care about watching that game if Colt McCoy is playing quarterback. That is why the NFL should and does overprotect quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
Because when Colt McCoy, sorry, Longhorn fan Bobby, when Colt McCoy or Cooper Rush or these guys are playing, I don't care. What was the other game I didn't care about the other night? It was the quarterback. Thursday night. What was the last Thursday night game?
It was Tennessee
Green
Bay.
Something with Lamar?
No, before Packers Titans. What'd you say?
I said something with Lamar.
did you even see?
It was Carolina, yeah. I think. I don't know.
Did you even see the business decision on that Kittle touchdown that was made?
That's what Aikman called the Cardinals an embarrassment.
Yeah, like the guy's pulling up. He's like, just stop here.
Dude, their cultures, they're in trouble.
Arizona?
Yes. Yeah, no, I've...
Would you hire Matt Rhule or Kingsbury first back in college?
Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule for college for sure. Matt Rhule's style just doesn't play at the NFL level. That plays with college kids.
Which is what?
He's very...
regimented.
Drill sergeant?
Yeah, tough and you know, very much drives home. I want tough football players and tough love and like that's what he's all about. That plays really well. Cliff doesn't even have really a track record of success in college.
He had Patrick Mahomes and couldn't win. Like that's pretty much it.
Matt Rhule said he gave an interview yesterday to the 33rd team where he said he got fired at 10:30, got home at 11, and at 11:30 a search firm called him that was asking about his interest in
Nebraska
in coaching. And so
he was on the NFL Network this morning saying, quote, "If I could go back, I wish I would have had a better relationship with the players in year one and two."
That's what coaching in professional sports is about nowadays. It's about how you manage people. There's obviously an X's and O's element to it, but
as you're seeing
a lot of these places, you know, the assistants, you know, Banny used to tell me, I don't coach.
Where's our next tat, bro? Is that what
he
used to tell
you?
Where'd you get that affliction shirt?
Not that he didn't
sweet, bro.
Coach the players, but he goes, my job is to coach the coaches. And I think that's a big part of.
And Banny's relationship with the players is like the number one reason listed why he got run, even though he clearly overachieved in the standings.
He massively overachieved. And, you know, he will tell you that his relationship with the players was great. You know, I mean, like,
And people would tell you that he's unaware. Like, we don't need to go down the Jeff Bannister rabbit hole, but.
But the point is that, you know, I think today's managers and today's coaches are more about people.
Yeah.
Than they are about.
Phil Jackson was ahead of the game.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he was just the Zen master. Texted everything else. You know, it was his offense. You know, it's a different world that we live in now. And maybe Jeff Saturday is. And Jim Irsay are changing the game in the NFL world. I don't know.
So do you think Kingsbury's a joke, Bobby?
I don't think he's a joke. I just think he's in over his head. And I don't think he's adjusted with experience is the thing. I mean, look, you hear, you'll hear stuff coming out of Arizona from people about how he doesn't really run practice. Like the veterans are in practice and, you know, he's got, you know, communication issues with guys. Guys, you know, you'll hear like defense is like, we don't even know the guy. Like, which, I mean, that was something that you heard at Texas Tech too. He didn't care about defense. And so I just think that he's a little in over his head. He's a bright guy. He's I think a really bright offensive designer, but I just don't think he's a head coach.
All right, let's get to RJ Choppy's overreactions or not. And we'll sprinkle in all of them throughout the rest of the show. Jerry coming up at 8:30.
All right. Should we just start with the Cowboys or somebody else?
You pick. You ran college football kegger very well.
I'll start with the Cowboys then. The Cowboys are the best team in the NFC. Overreaction or not?
No, but I don't know that it's...
It's like I don't agree, but it's not an overreaction.
No, like I mean...
Great.
I don't agree, but it's not an overreaction. But, Bobby, you're going to say it's Philly?
I was going to say, I think, like, right now, you could make an argument for Dallas, Philly, and then, I mean, San Francisco hasn't allowed a touchdown in the second half the last 3 weeks.
Oh.
I mean...
Yeah, they're turning into a nightmare right now.
I think it's an overreaction. It's not a crazy overreaction. It's an overreaction.
I think it's a slight overreaction. Yeah, I think it's wrong. It's a wrong statement. I think they're like the second best team, maybe.
Plus, with the way Philly's been playing, well, it should have been two straight losses.
It should have been, and maybe it's San Francisco's the best team. Who knows? But like, I don't know. I don't think it's crazy. I don't think it's a crazy statement. I could easily make the case for it, but I don't necessarily think I would agree with it.
Best point differential in the NFC. That's a peripheral statistic that's indicative of future success in the playoffs.
Is it indicative?
Yes.
Because I view that as a flawed stat.
It's no, I mean, there was like a stretch of like 6 years in a row where the teams that made the Super Bowl were the tops in their conference in point differential.
Wow.
Even when they didn't have the best record. And so that's usually, it means you're beating down teams when you play them and they're poor and you're winning the close games against good teams.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. All right, next one. And this ties into the Cowboys a little bit. The Eagles peaked too soon.
I hate when people do this on all these shows. They go, not you, not you, but they go, the Eagles are done at 8-0, like the history of 8-0 teams. So like before the season, we would not want to be 8-0 because history has shown 8-0 teams like don't win the Super Bowl. And they do these comparisons to other sports like the Phoenix Suns and the LA Dodgers. So we should not want to be the best team in the regular season because some of these other stats show it. They peak too soon. I mean, obviously, you want to go ahead and peak at the very, very end, but I think that's an overreaction, in my opinion.
I do, too. Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, I think the bigger thing with them is not about, like, peaking too early. It's not like, well, you've got, like, just a certain window where you can play your best football. And if you blow it early in the season, then, you know, you like, I think it's just about they've got to be better than they've been recently. And I also think there's a little bit of they're good. I don't think they're on the tier with like Kansas City, like we've talked about,
right,
or
no.
Buffalo. Like and so I think there's also just an expectation that there's going to be a regression to the mean a little bit.
Jalen Hurts in his last three games passing and running. Threw for 243, ran for 23. Threw for 175 in the loss to Washington, ran for 28, threw for 190, and ran for 86 against the Colts.
Right. His rushing numbers, if they're in the 20s, that's bad. That's bad for him. He needs to get higher than that. Like his most effective games are when he's like 50 to 70 in that rush in those rushing yards. He's getting, you know, his 220, 230 pass yards. He's getting close to 300. You want to, because, you know, that's where like the benchmark for a quarterback is 300 yards, and if you're a guy who's a running quarterback, you find a way to get there in the aggregate, and he's just not doing it lately.
All right, Cowboys and the Eagles. In the spotlight, of course, it's going to be Cowboys-Giants on Thursday here on 105.3 The Fan. Stephen Jones was on with the KMC Masterpiece, and they asked Stephen, how do y'all keep up that momentum you just had in Minneapolis for the G-Men?
Well, that's what great teams do, and I think that's the challenge with the leadership in the locker room. with the leadership on the coaching staff, from Mike to Dan to Kellen to Bones, you know, to keep these guys focused. And the great teams do that. And we certainly need to step up. This game, if you can't get fired up against playing a team you're tied with in the division for right now, we're in second place with them. They played great football all year. They're 7-3 as well. If we can't get focused and fired up for a divisional opponent like the Giants, then I'd be surprised.
Jerry Jones is coming up live at 8:30. An all-time upset in the World Cup. Are some Mavericks fans turning on Luka? And I think I'm finally going to get my wedding gift from RJ Choppy.
About time.
Right here, live in studio with Jerry around the corner on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And it's back to Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan, segment brought to you by Stave the R Weight Loss, that's soda, and by the personal injury lawyers Frankel and Frankel. There's a reason you need a special license to drive a big truck. So companies that hire drivers and put them in a big truck should be held accountable for what happens when one hurts you. Frankly, you need Frankel and Frankel. Visit truckwreck.com or call them 214-333-3333.
Jerry Jones is coming up at 8:30 this morning here on your home of America's team. I want you to breathe and take your time with the questions, Bobby. All right? Don't get nervous.
I took my Adderall today. I'll be slower.
I don't get it. I don't get how
I guess it just brings you to center. If it's up or down, it just knows. The pill knows. It knows what to do.
Basically, it just means that normally I operate faster than controlled methamphetamine.
That would have been.
I've never heard meth bringing somebody down, but it does, apparently, for Bobby.
The United States tying Wales yesterday. Disappointing, according to many of our soccer tolos. This one is worse than disappointing. Argentina lost to Saudi Arabia, one of the greatest upsets in the history of the World Cup. It took place 2 hours ago. The transfer value of the entire Saudi Arabia team, $26 million. Messi's transfer value, $51.5 million.
Oh, God. Yeah, like they don't even belong the same
pitches
them. They don't. But like, you know, my neighbor who's a big Argentina fan. He's like, this is what happens. This is us. Every 4 years, this is us. And I get it, man. It's got to be frustrating. They have. It's not over yet. You know, they could still. You know, they got to get by Mexico and Poland. They got to really beat them both. But it, you know, they have essentially wasted Messi's, you know, career. Not them, he's been a part of it, but they have, from a international standpoint, it's been wasted.
Last night, the Stars lost to the Avs in a shootout, 3-2. You're heading there tomorrow night to the
tomorrow
arena?
Tomorrow night, yeah, go check out a game. It's been since the opener since I've been to a Stars game. I went to a game in Vegas. I went to a Vegas Golden Knights game. Who did they play that day? I don't remember who they played. Oh, the Ducks. Oh, God, they're awful. Holy cow, that's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Anaheim is atrocious. Atrocious. But, yeah, we go tomorrow night.
And then the Mavs are not playing, but Bobby Belt has been itching to go at Jason Kidd and this regime for what they're doing with Christian Wood. Tim McMahon had the quote from Seawood the other night, and he basically said, yeah, I'd love to be playing more minutes, but right now I'm just fulfilling my role, Bobby.
Yeah, what was that? That was 28 points he scored on Friday. That's probably the most unreliable 28 points I've ever seen. Like, it's just so untrustworthy. Yeah.
How can Jason Kidd be such a genius? That's my only hesitation in not destroying Kidd for this year is because he was a genius last year and like got everything possible out of that roster. And it's like making me hesitate to call him out for this as much as I want to with what's going on.
Is that just a bump though? Like the freeing bump of we're out from under Rick Carlisle and he just naturally benefited from some of that?
I don't know. They became fantastic defensively. He said, we're just going to decide on this formula, bombing away from three.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked.
It did. The thing that's freaking me out about this is the way he's handling this Christian Wood thing. Obviously not to the same extreme, but it's in the same ballpark of like these weird mental tactics that got him in trouble with the Nets and the Bucks. And that's what I'm concerned about is it's like, okay, we thought you learned from this and corrected.
Christian Wood has the track record that if you told me this was happening before the season, none of us would be surprised.
Right.
I think we got a couple things happening, right? You have the talent. He's clearly the second most talented person on the team.
Not even close.
It's not even close. You have the talent. You have the complete drop-off in talent on the rest of this roster. And then you have Luka and his MVP season. And it's just making me turn that narrative that there was before the season. Christian Wood's a problem child. Christian Wood is on seven different teams in 7 years in the league. There's a reason for that. And maybe, I don't know. I don't know how to view this. It's just frustrating. And right now I'm desperate for talent to be put around Luka, and they're keeping it on the bench. But maybe Jason Kidd's saving us from a massive contract mistake like Nerlens Noel would have been. Remember that deal? Mm. They tried to offer him.
Nerlens wasn't, over 36 minutes averaging 25 points and 11 boards shooting 60%, shooting, 43% from three. Like, okay, whatever. Let Reggie Bullock step out there. Brick is 8 threes. And, you can feel better about your trust.
Are some Mavs fans starting to turn on Luka with the refs?
No, but somebody thinks they are. I'd call this a fake story.
Okay.
All right. So Bro Bible, who we like that page. We go there all the time.
Yeah, they do what everyone does. Yep. If I can go and gather three tweets in any direction and make it a headline and a story.
But here's the thing. So they basically went to one blue check mark Twitter follow. It's a draft thing. Lucas Floppy was atrocious. He baited the refs with non-existent or forced contact by him, and then flamed the refs with the Mavs play 4-on-5. The habit has to stop. Might be the worst flop of his career. And here's why I know this is fake. Not fake, but like not a real problem. Fans never blame their own player for working the officials. Spurs fans did not think of Tim Duncan as a complainer. Mav fans did not think of Dirk Nowitzki as a complainer. Maybe one or two haters did, but they didn't think of Dirk as a complainer. But if you left DFW, you thought of Dirk as a complainer. And if you left San Antonio, you thought of Tim Duncan with his palms up in the air and his mouth wide open and his eyes like, oh my God, popping out of his head. How dare you call that foul on me?
It's annoying. It's annoying. This is a question for the future. Are people more capable of criticizing their children or their favorite players?
Oh, their children.
Yeah,
for most sure. Parents,
you criticize your children more than your favorite players?
I'm saying in general, I think sports fans are more reluctant to criticize their favorite players.
Yeah. Think about that for a future Luka complaint
60%
topic.
Of parents hate their kids in general.
Jerry Jones live on the Fan right after this. It's Sean and RJ with our new morning co-host, Bobby Bell, leading you up to your Thanksgiving Thursday, Cowboys-Giants. On this radio station, tomorrow's Peace-a-thon with the KMC Masterpiece. Michael Irvin is going to be on. Michael Parsons is going to be on. All of us are going to be stopping up here throughout the day in studio. We are now getting you ready for the Jerry Jones Show. Every Tuesday at this time on Sean and RJ, brought to you by Ford, built for Texas, built for you. And we're going to play this audio clip to Jerry. But Bobby, yesterday, Mike McCarthy talking about two separate JJs to the media?
Yeah, he was just asked about, Jerry said after the game he thinks this team can win the Super Bowl. And the reporters were curious, what does Mike McCarthy think about that?
We're not playing the audio right playing. Now.
I got you.
We're going to Peyton's all with Jerry.
He said there's a little bit of a difference. He said, look, The guy I talked to today was focused on beating the Giants, and that's the GM.
And let's see how willing they are to talk about Odell today. Last time you two were together, it sounded like Jerry would have answered 10 questions. But Steven yesterday was not as open with KMC. So we'll see how far down that path he's willing to take it. He also knows it's going to keep the buzz up. He also knows it's going to keep them in the headlines to keep talking about Beckham. So we'll get Jerry on here momentarily via the Diamond Factory Hotline on your home of America's team. Truckwreck.com text line is open at 877-881-1053. We have any injury concerns on the Cowboys side after the Giants lost Adoree Jackson and Wandale Robinson?
Yeah, there were a lot of guys on the injury report yesterday. Half of them, it seemed like, were due to illness. There's a little bit of a bug going around right now. But, yeah, you're curious about where's Mike at with that knee coming out of the game, and where DeMarcus Lawrence is at with the foot injury that's been giving him problems. They had a walkthrough yesterday, but both of them were projected as DNPs yesterday.
They were projected as DNPs?
DNPs for, it's a projection since it's a walkthrough. They basically have to project their participation level if it was a full practice. So the Cowboys were projected, if they had a full practice yesterday, Mike and DeMarcus Lawrence would not have practiced.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Practice, not play. This bug has been nasty. Real
dude,
nasty.
Everyone's getting this thing. I knock on Corian, I somehow haven't gotten it.
You had some symptoms like last week.
It was when I was when I left for Vegas. I was not feeling well. I had like a fever that day, but that, I thought that was before all this whole surge. Maybe I was on the early side of it.
There was flu, and then people were saying there's a separate stomach bug. My in-laws now will not trust my grilling because I gave them some pastrami I made, and me and the father-in-law got sick, so they don't want me to touch any Thanksgiving food. They're doing Thanksgiving, nothing at the Sharif household, so my grilling skills moving forward have been frowned upon.
Huh.
Now. Yeah.
All the salted cured meat, man.
Just hook him up with some orange magic wings. They'll be good.
Yeah. See, that's a way to get under his skin. I wouldn't. You're new. You'll learn. You're new. You'll learn.
Oh, Gavin Dawson. All right, so we're going to await Jerry coming
Maybe
up
he's on
here.
The phone with Odell. Who knows?
Man, well, you ask him. There you go. Your very first question. Were you on the phone with Odell Beckham? The line has moved to 9, by the way. 9.
Ooh.
Well, where are you getting uncomfortable? Because I know you were joking, Cowboys should be favored by 12. Where do you get uncomfortable in terms of it moving up, where you wouldn't bet on the Cowboys?
Past 11. 11's the number.
Okay.
11, you know, there are some numbers there that are like benchmark numbers in betting, you know, like, you know, a great number for a favorite is 6.5, right? You know, because you'll win the game by 7. Like a favorite, you know, and then when you see the number between like 4 and 6, that's Vegas telling you they don't really know what they're doing. Like they're trying to let the market decide what the spread's going to be. And when it get, what'd you say it was up to? You
said 9.
9. Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, anything under 10, 10 and a half, you know, now you're talking about getting into, you know, more than a touchdown and a field goal, or a touchdown 2-point conversion and a field goal. So I would not feel comfortable past 11.
What, it opened at 7.5?
Yeah.
So, gosh, it was like,
a lot of movement.
8 by yesterday. And so there's a lot of, and that must mean that there's a lot of people just think Dallas is going to crush him. Which I think if you look at, Dallas handled them pretty well. That was without Dak. That was on the road. There were a lot of reasons why they could have lost that game previously. Now you've got kind of the Giants on this downturn. I don't know. Maybe this is the injury stacking up with Wandale Robinson and everything else that they're dealing with. They had a pretty lengthy injury report yesterday themselves, the Giants did. And so, I mean, you know, another receiver was on there, Richie James. They had 7 guys who were DNP yesterday.
What have the Cowboys been doing on Thanksgiving, though? I feel like I can't get that Raider game out of my mind. They got their asses whipped by Buffalo a couple years ago. Has it been a bad run on Thanksgiving as of late?
Yeah, and it has been a bad run. They've lost 3 straight games.
3 straight?
On Thanksgiving. They lost to the Commanders. They lost to Buffalo. And the Raiders. Those are the last 3 Thanksgiving Day games they've played in.
Is the Commanders the fake punt stuff?
They lost that
game. That was 41-16,
yeah.
Whatever that game was. I don't remember the specifics. They were both bad beatdowns that year, yeah, against Washington.
Yeah, they were not good. Another thing is, you know, to keep an eye on is how the Cowboys have fared based on halftime show.
Continue. As yesterday, I think Brett Maher said his kids didn't care about going to the game. They were just excited for the Jonas Brothers. That's the halftime act? Jonas Brothers?
The Jonas Brothers, the halftime act. So that's good. You know, they're six and three. With pop music.
The Cowboys?
6-3.
There's a stat on this.
Yeah, 6-3 with pop music. Their last game, though, Ellie Goulding, they lost 26-15 to the Bills. But the year before, they beat Washington with Meghan Trainor. And then they won. They lost to Philly with Pitbull. But then, you know, they had won five straight. Enrique Iglesias, the Jonas Brothers back in 08, Kelly Clarkson and Destiny's Child. And then the previous one, they lost. They had Jessica Simpson. But they do not want country.
Okay.
Country music is where they lose. They're 4-10 with country artists.
With country artists. Yeah. I'm sure that Jerry Jones would love that information before booking the halftime act. Jerry is now joining us here on Sean and RJ along with Bobby Belt on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Sean, RJ, Bobby, man, is this a different feeling than we had last week when we popped on here after Green Bay?
Was that a perfect performance against Minnesota?
Our entire game, our execution, and our when you look at stats, when you look at we scored on our first seven possessions, both sides of the ball. I agree with Michael Irvin the other day that it's there's not a perfect game, but that's maybe the best I've seen as a complete game since I've been with the Cowboys.
Jerry, what was your number one storyline? We had offensive line. We had Diggs versus Jefferson. Obviously, Dak, Pollard, and then that pass rush. That was our number one storyline with the way you guys beat and battered Kirk Cousins. Just talk about any of those performances.
The plan going into the game, the plan, succinctly as planned, the game plan, so to speak, was followed to the perfection. That, to me, was the most impressive. What Dak wanted to do, what Dak was asked to do, what we needed to do on the play selection, how to get in and out of situations offensively, followed that to perfection. Consequently, it allowed the way for us to set the defense up and play with the style and play with, if you will, the aggressiveness to some degree. But it was the execution of the game plan. The guys came, you know, your players, of course, have to execute it. And I've never seen one that fit the plan any better.
Jerry, does it feel like Kellen Moore has gotten a great feel for how to perfectly use Pollard now, which you said you wanted more of before the season started, that Pollard-Zeke usage? Does it feel like y'all have hit a sweet spot?
Well, I think Mike McCarthy, candidly, has seen how to not only maximize Kellen and maximize what we can do offensively, but match that up with what Dan's doing. And that was for a coach that has coached a lot of ball games. I see if we can win this game out here Thursday that he'll win 150 ball games in the NFL. But he's matching it up, boy, and he's coordinating. And you talk about complimentary football, you hear that from him all the time. He did a heck of a job. Did a heck of a job of coming off of obvious disappointment. No one was any more wounded than he was coming out of Green Bay. And then to turn that around and work with the team and put that together was a thing of beauty. Well done, Coach.
Jerry, both Zeke and Pollard had 15 carries. Pollard had, obviously the six receptions as well. But is that the balance that you want, where they both get basically the same amount of carries, or was that just kind of the way the game went?
I'm not going to split hairs with this as far as their touches. But the quarterback has so much to do with that. On one of Tony's touchdowns, Dak checked through about five options on that one play and then put it out there. By the way, that's something that was worked on and talked about before the game when you're visiting about pregame preparation. That play right there was thought about. Don't necessarily go on and check your progressions out and try to anytime you can get the hands, get the ball in the hands of Lamb or get the ball in the hands of Zeke or Pollard. Let's do that today. Every chance we get it in their hands, either handing it to them or throwing it to them.
The Hall of Famer Jerry Jones here on Sean and RJ. So now how do you view this turnaround, Jerry, for the Giants and this matchup on Thursday?
Well, it's always just that. It's a tough turn. It's a fast turn. It's good that we played the Giants already, so you got a lot in the can, so to speak, got a lot of preparation. We know the Giants because we played them, of course. And so that'll be an edge. They know us, though. We've got to get in here. We do this traditionally. I was trying to find out to we're going to have a very significant recognition of Madden all over, but I'm not so sure Madden has ever done a game other than the Cowboy game on Thanksgiving. I don't know that he has ever or had. And so the bottom line is that we're just getting ready to go for a big day out here, and this has always been this kind of week, and our staff and our team are up to it.
Jerry, how much has this bug that's been going around affecting you guys?
We're getting a lot of it. So, you know, that's a factor. It's not the same issues, even potentially even the COVID issues, or not quite the hurdles that they were over the last 2 or 3 years. But still, we've got to deal with it. But everybody has to deal with it.
Jerry, we saw Micah Parsons go down during this last game against Minnesota and looked to be in a lot of pain. He was able to come back there in the fourth quarter near the end of the game. Actually, I'm curious, were you a little nervous at all watching him come back out there with the game in hand after he had gone down?
His physicalness is amazing. His physical durability is amazing. Just think about the numbers of contacts that he's having out there. And I mean, just with reckless abandon, not reckless, but with abandon, you're going to get some bumps.
Has he?
We're expecting him to go.
You're expecting him to go? Has he had an MRI or anything on that knee?
No.
Okay.
And I wouldn't want to get into detail if he had, but the answer is no.
And with this short turnaround, I know DeMarcus Lawrence has been dealing with that foot injury. Are you guys just going to be, you know, need to be careful monitoring his snaps with just how tight a turnaround this is and how banged up he's been?
Well, you've seen him play with it and whatever it is, and we're well aware of it. He's aware of it, and but he's got 4 or 5 other things too. All these guys do at this time of year, and I'm not trying to be trite or slight, but all of them have something at this time of year. But and play. That's what's amazing about pro football. These guys are, most of them will have surgeries. Most of the players will have some type of surgery at the end of the year. And so that's the way you play these games.
Jerry Jones joins us here at 105 through the Fan. Does Tyler Smith being seen at guard give us any indication that Tyron's going to go back to left tackle when he returns?
Well, Tyler back to left tackle. You mean Tyron Smith?
But yes.
Tyron's our left tackle. Will be a left tackle when he returns. To answer your question,
Jerry, how do you think Tyler will make that transition back to a guard when Tyron returns?
Well, easily. I mean, I don't mean to make something difficult in the very essence of playing tackle or guard, but. That's what they were doing, was giving him reps there in anticipation of that, or giving him reps in anticipation of Peters basically playing left tackle in a situation and him playing guard. But position flex, as you well know, is tremendously valued in an offensive lineman. And we've got some great coaches out there, and they want to develop that flex all the way across that line.
Jerry, yesterday, Mike McCarthy was making some comments about Jerry the owner versus Jerry the GM. I want to play him for you and see what you think about the separation.
I saw Jerry's comments, but I can tell you, speaking with general manager Jerry, today he's focused on the Giants. But obviously the owner is, he's always looking at the big picture.
What's he talking about with that difference there, Jerry? GM versus owner, Jerry Jones.
I would assume he's talking about the idea of focusing on the job at hand, which is against the Giants.
Yeah.
And focusing on that. And he's absolutely correct. That's a little closer to the actual snap. And there doesn't need to be any attention spent away from those snaps if you're a player or you're a coach coaching that player from the New York Giants. They are the biggest threat we have for the rest of the year. So that's number one. But the same guy that's talking about going and getting a receiver and going out here and making a move like that right now has got to be thinking past Thursday, would you think?
Yes,
Beckham?
Sir. Yep.
So how do you wear that? That's one of the advantages of being the owner and the general manager. Because if you're the guy that is having to make that decision both ways, you're cutting the check. You got it all right there in front of you, and so you don't have to, when the opportunity to strike is there, you can get it. That's the way it's always been around here, always.
Jerry Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. Jerry, is the biggest factor with Odell Beckham money or health?
Oh, I don't want to get into the negotiation. We're not. And all of those situations make it possible for us to have a deal here. Otherwise, if you didn't have either one of those situations, he wouldn't be available.
Jerry, without getting into any negotiation, it feels like the next commercial, your Dion commercial, you and Odell sitting down in a room, you connecting with these young stars still today. How much has it changed over the years? Do you still get geared up for this, like a big business meeting when you all eventually meet?
Well, let's put it like this. Today, because of, let's say, Dion, today, the credibility of working with a player, because Deion Sanders and I have a great relationship today and have had a continued relationship years and years after he quit playing. That is the case with Michael. That is the case with many of these players. Long after they put the football down or gotten off the football field. That's an advantage when you're sitting down talking to Herschel Walker or you're talking to these guys, because all they've got to do is pick up the phone and hear what happens after you quit playing.
Jerry, recently you guys have been pretty selective in the free agents or people outside the organization you pay. You pay your own, but the guys outside the organization, you've been pretty selective. What's different, or what would be different about Odell and breaking the bank?
Well, everything's relative. We went after Cooper, and we broke that mold you're talking about right there with Cooper, and we're glad to do it and glad to get him. And in a large degree, it worked. And so you just got to pick your poison, so to speak. Everything, it's either or. When you look at a player, and the more you expend for a player, you can go up to where that's two players or that's three players. It's financial, but it's really not. At the end of the day, it's the capability, the athletic ability, the availability up against paying a lot to one player or paying lesser to two players is one way to measure it. So it's all relevant, and the main thing is that everybody would agree with if you can improve this team right now and it's within reason, you should do it. We've got a chance.
Jerry, let's talk about everything you guys have going on as you do every Thanksgiving with the Salvation Army and all the other great causes y'all are working on for Thursday.
Yeah, this is, of course, has turned into such a great day for, in my mind, sports, because it allows you to go to as many as 70, 80, 90, and I know I'm throwing them around, but million people in America, and catch them at a time when they're sitting there looking at a game when a lot of them normally wouldn't be looking at a game. It's Thanksgiving Day in America. And when we get to go and talk about those a great organization of the Salvation Army and the 3 million volunteers and what they do to put Santa Claus under the tree for so many, many wonderful children in America, or what they do to lighten the burden during that time of year. It's amazing, and it's a privilege, and it's we are approaching $3 billion over the last 25 years,
wow,
roughly speaking, that we have incrementally brought to the communities of the country by improving the awareness of the red kettle. Now, this year, we're going to really, really get to do something big, and that's recognizing the grandest face of Thanksgiving, and certainly the Cowboys and John Madden. And of course, John Madden was as synonymous with our Thanksgiving Day as the turkey itself. And so this is an exciting Thanksgiving, and we're going to meld all of that together. John is going to be recognized all over the league, but he's certainly going to be recognized to my knowledge, I think the only Thanksgiving game that John did was ours, ever. So we got a big dog in this fight, and we really want to make a big day out of it. We're going to do it Thanksgiving Day.
Jerry, how much did you rely on him as a football confidant? What made his football vision or approach very unique with some of the things you could borrow or take from Madden?
Well, John was a great friend, and after my first year, we went 1-15. And a lot of people don't realize what a financial guy John Madden was. He's one of the most successful business people in this country. And he was not just because of the Madden game, but certainly the Madden game helped him out, but he had tremendous holdings all over the West and real estate. And so he was very keen to what I'd done when I bought the team. And he knew what a mess this thing was financially, both the team and the league. And so he was very, very on page when we'd sit down and have our business. We immediately tracked each other. I'm sitting after a Thanksgiving Day game at some point early, and I went over to the Four Seasons with him after the game and was sitting in his room, and I said, John, is this thing as big as I think it is? I know I've got it exaggerated, but, man, it's big to be sitting here with the NFL and you and the Cowboys. He said, Jerry, this is presidential stuff. This is presidential. And so we had a great relationship, a lot of wonderful hours and time spent. Had him at my home many times. And before the game, or during when he would come through, whether we were Thanksgiving or whether it was another time during the year, but he had such an awareness. He was so apt, not only at the game itself, understood the attractiveness of the game. He understood what was down in the dirt, and he understood what was really basic about that, and about needing to be that to be a football player. But he also understood the magic of how to describe it. And he understood the whole picture. He became an advisor, a key advisor to the NFL later after he, but while he was still a commentator. And he became an advisor. And he just about was called upon advice on every committee we handled, having the NFL, whether it be television or whether it be competition. He really had a great idea, and he had a great way to project it so that the rest of us could basically get some of that on us.
Well said. That's awesome. Jerry, happy Thanksgiving. We cannot wait till Thursday, and thank you so much for your time, as always, this morning.
You bet, guys. Now, this giant thing is a mess, okay? We got to get something done out here to keep this going, but it's exciting. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. Jerry Jones, brought to you by Ford, built for Texas, built for you. Final hour of Sean and RJ. Let's react to some of the news from that next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.